In May, the Korean-born Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Ryu Hyun-jin was named the National League Pitcher of the Month. When you think of Asians in baseball, you might first think of Japan, with famous players like Ichiro Suzuki and Yu Darvish in Major League Baseball. But South Korea also has an illustrious domestic league, with competitive players who are breaking ground in the United States. How did baseball get its start in South Korea, and where is it going? We're going to answer all that today. From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., I'm Yong Kwon, and this is Korean Context Explainer. We have with us today KEI's resident baseball fans, Haram Chung, an intern with the Korea Economic Institute, and Troy Stangaroon, our Senior Director for Congressional Affairs and Trade. Welcome both to this very exciting episode. Perhaps, Haram, I can start with you. How did professional baseball get started in South Korea exactly?
High school baseball was popular throughout Korea since the 1960s. In the 1970s, we will see tickets sell out for quarterfinal matches in high school championship tournaments. In 1975, Korean-American businessman Hong Yun-hee visited Korea to assess whether a professional baseball league would be successful. After receiving positive response, he raised $200,000 to start the league. But President Park Chung-hee refused in that time.
Why was that? Why did President Park Chung-hee not like baseball?
Because in that time, President Park Chung-hee wanted to focus on economic growth, not public welfare, not public culture.
But this changes in the 1980s, doesn't it? So why is the Chun administration more eager to promote baseball in Korea?
The Chun administration was promoting sports to divert the public's attention from democratization. So professional baseball teams were founded.
That's very interesting. It's very political in a lot of ways. One thing that your research found that I found very interesting was the market size of baseball, which is actually larger than soccer.
Yeah.
I think from the outside, especially watching South Korea co-host the 2002 World Cup with Japan, one would assume that soccer is actually the larger sport. But you say that it's actually baseball. Do you have some reasons for why baseball managed to have such a large market share in South Korea?
There are three big reasons. First, South Korea won the World Junior Baseball Championship and attracted national attention.
So this is the 1980s, right? The 1980s when the government was looking for things to distract people from democratization. South Korea just happens to have been doing very well in international baseball.
It was 1981. And second, baseball had a strong regional fan base that was built on high school baseball. And third, the Korean Soccer Association asked the government for 13 billion won to enhance stadium infrastructure. Meanwhile, the Baseball Association didn't require any government support.
I guess in part because there was already the Korean-American businessman that you mentioned who had already kind of raised the seed money. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Funny anecdote associated with Chun Doo-hwan. He apparently didn't know that it was baseball that his government was sponsoring. Chun Doo-hwan was a really big fan of soccer, and he thought professional soccer league was going to be established.
That is actually really funny. I guess he didn't really care what sport it was as long as it was distracting the public from politics.
Yeah.
Regardless, I guess in a way, his government was very successful in promoting baseball, although it didn't stop the wave of democratization from coming in 1987. Could you give us a sense for kind of the scale of the baseball fandom in Korea?
Based on surveys from 2017, the average number of attendees at a KBO game is almost 12,000. Meanwhile, soccer attracts only half of that number. In terms of total ticket sales, baseball brings in 74 billion won per year, while soccer earns just 11 billion won. TV rating for popular baseball teams reached 2%. In addition, 30 to 40,000 spectators watch using internet platforms. Sometimes this number can rise to 200,000. Interestingly, the game is very popular with both genders and with a young generation. 43% of online ticket buyers are female, and 70% of attendees in stadium are in their 20s or 30s. In addition, baseball has a stronger regional fan base. This is built around a very competitive high school baseball.
This builds back to what you were saying earlier about how baseball started.
Yeah,
it was built on high school baseball league to begin with and has continued to remain that way.
Yeah. Soccer has had less success with building a pipeline that allows local fans to watch a player grow from a student athlete to a professional player.
And of course, the success of the Korean baseball organization begs the question of how the domestic Korean market interacts with the largest baseball market in the world, which is here in the United States with the Major League Baseball. Troy, what does the exchange between KBO and MLB look like?
There's a few different ways I think we can look at this. One, similar to professional soccer, which people are more familiar with in terms of this, you have players from the KBO who come and play in MLB. For example, now there are five Koreans playing in professional baseball in the United States. Ryu Hyun-jin right now has been perhaps the best or second best pitcher in all of baseball so far this season. So you have players like him who starred in either Korea or in some cases Japan and then come to the U.S. At the same time, though, you're also starting to see more of a symbiosis between the leagues to where you have players like Eric Timms or Mariel Kelly, who this season came back from Korea after having performed well there, are now back in the major leagues. And, you know, Eric Timms a couple years ago was a really big sort of breakout player. And now Mariel Kelly has done a fairly good job with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So you have sort of this cross-pollination of players, but there are also some restrictions. So, for example, for a Korean player to come to the U.S., they have to have either played professionally in Korea for 9 years to be an international free agent, or their team has to post them, which means, in essence, that they have to basically say, we'd like other teams in MLB to bid on this player, and then the winning team gets a chance to negotiate a contract with this player, and then he'd be released from his Korean contract. The other way that I think the two leagues could and probably should start trying to interact, here later this month, we're going to have the first professional game in London. The Yankees are going to play the Red Sox. This season actually began with games in Japan. It was the fifth time Major League Baseball has started the season in Japan. We've also had professional games played in Australia. In Australia, the games only get about 1,000 people or so to attend, so it's a very, very small sport in Australia. Korea, after Japan, is probably the largest market for baseball in the world, perhaps. And we haven't actually seen regular season professional game played in Korea. And so, you know, I think if baseball really does want to grow the sport internationally, tapping into a market like Korea, I think, is an important first step. And so I'm kind of will be curious to see when we have our first professional game in Korea. And with, you know, Korean players in MLB, there's the chance, you know, to try and take and sort of like happened this year where Ichiro had his last game in Japan, not necessarily one of the players' last games, but to promote the sport by bringing them back to Korea as part of a major league game.
So perhaps we'll see the LA Dodgers with Ryu Hyun-jin play in Seoul in the near future.
Perhaps, and maybe they could play, say, for example, the Tampa Bay Rays, who have Cheji Mon, who's their first baseman and designated hitter.
That's it for the episode today. Many thanks to Haram Chung and Troy Stangarone, and to you, listeners, for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, please tweet at us at KOREAECONINST. We have a very exciting event coming up. On June 11th, Theo Clement, research associate at King's College London, will present his newest paper on the evolution of North Korean special economic zones. The competition between China and South Korea in developing these areas after sanctions are lifted, and why cooperations will be necessary for both countries to achieve their goals in North Korea. Please RSVP at keia.org. Hope to see you there!